Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and today we're going to talk about the five mistakes that are made during the non-radar evals, the five worst mistakes. Okay, so first an overview. The non-radar evals will occur over one day instead of two, like the radar. The problems are shorter, which allows them to get it all done in one day. And each person, each student, will run two problems. One before lunch, one after lunch. And so it's a lot to put into one day. And, you know, there are, you know, a few points riding on it. 7 points for each of the runs, so 14 points total in that day. Only to be exceeded by the radar evals that are worth 66 points. But you want to get as many points out of the non-radar evals as you can. So we're going to cover what I think are some of the worst mistakes from my time at the academy as a lead and a lead and as a non-radar instructor. And so these are things that students have actually done, and we've talked about it afterwards. So going right in, when you start a non-radar eval, you have 15 minutes to pre-plan your problem. You have to use that wisely. And you've been practicing in the 27 practice scenarios. You've been practicing the order that you want to go through and solve problems in your pre-plan. And so one of the worst things you can do is pre-plan in the wrong order. And a lot of students will try to go to their departures and try to do the departures first. Not a good idea. Number one, you need to save those for last. Number two, if you have two aircraft that are at the same altitude in your problem and they're within 10 minutes, that's a red alert. They have to be solved. That conflict has to be solved, and it has to be one of your highest priority things. Okay, so you have to solve the red alerts that you have, the red W's that you have in your problem. You have to do that first. Then you need to get all your arrivals in, and you want to go from the ones that are going to happen first. Okay, I know it sounds simple. It sounds too simplistic, but you would be surprised how many students try to solve things in the wrong order. So you look at any red W's that you have, you solve them in the order that they're going to happen. Okay? Then you look at your arrivals and you solve them in the order that they're going to happen. Okay, now if you have time left over at the end of your 15 minutes, I'd say if you have about 3 to 5 minutes at least, then you can start looking at your departures in the order that they are going to call. Okay, you're noticing a theme. You should be noticing a theme. You have to do things in the order that they're going to happen. Solve the things with airplanes that are actually moving first. The ones on the ground cannot hurt you until you give them a clearance up into the air, and then they can hurt you. Okay, so solve things in the order that they're going to happen. You would be surprised how many students just do not do that. Okay, so that is one of the worst problems I've seen, and it starts your problem off on the wrong foot. Okay. So, number two, not having your first moves planned before the clock actually turns to zero, or the start time for the scenario. You want to take that last minute or two of your 15-minute pre-plan, stop pre-planning, and start planning out your priorities when the problem starts. Okay? What do you need to get done? And there are going to be times when you have to get something done in the first minute of a scenario. You cannot let the remote start talking. You have to control the situation. That's why they call you an air traffic controller, not an air traffic moderator or an air traffic, crossing guard. You know, you're an air traffic controller, so you have to control the situation. And you have to control the beginning of the scenario, especially when it is on the eval day. Okay? So make a plan. Take a minute or two at the end of that 15-minute pre-plan. Look up at the clock and say, okay, this is what I need. This is the highest priority. This is what I need to do first. This is what I need to do second. This is what I need to do third. And then I can, that takes care of all my high priority stuff. Then I can wait for what's going to happen next. And in the non-radar scenarios, you know what's coming next. You really do know what's going to come next. Okay? You practice enough, you have worked enough problems that you have a pretty good idea of what's coming up. Okay? So there shouldn't be any surprises. But you have to have a game plan going into the beginning of the scenario. And there are some evaluators who will tell you. There are some evaluators who won't say a word when that 15 minutes is up. Okay? So, that's number two. You have to have a game plan for the start of the scenario. Number three, I can guarantee you that every lead and a lead is going to teach you about the what, WHAT. And you need to look at every airplane that wants to change altitude or needs to change altitude. Every departure, you're going to look at what. Where are they? That's the W. Any holding aircraft? That's the H. Any airspace? That's the A. And any traffic. And you have to write that down. I have seen so many students try and do it in their head. And what happens when you're trying to do it in your head is that invariably the remote calls as another pilot or a controller and interrupts your train of thought. Well, now, since you haven't been writing it down, you have to remember it while you're trying to do something else. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Just take my word for it. Write everything down. Use up the scrap paper they give you. Use it up. Okay? If you write it down, then you can pause. And you can go back and you can see where you were. And you start from there. You don't have to start over. So if you're not writing it down, and you get a call, and you have to deal with something, and you get back to it, and pretty much you're going to have to start the whole process over. And that takes up a lot of time. Okay? So, write down your WHAT. Write it down, write it down, write it down. Take my word for it. It's the only way to do it. Okay? Now, the next one, I have actually had students do this to me during practice scenarios when I was the instructor. Do not bring something that you missed to the evaluator's attention. What happened was arrival into Greenwood. A student has to get a block of altitude from Sector 67 in order to do the approach into Greenwood. He had not done it. I had not noticed. Right? Student sounded great. I hadn't noticed that he hadn't gotten it. And then the aircraft lands, and the student goes to give the block of airspace back and uttered an expletive. And that got my attention, obviously. And I looked over and, oh, you forgot to get the airspace, didn't you? Do not, under any circumstances, bring anything to the evaluator's attention. In a scenario like that, where you didn't get the airspace, or you didn't do something you needed to do, just keep going as if you did. Give the airspace back. I'd even ride on the strip and circle it in red and then line through it. Okay? Do what you would normally do. Do not give the evaluators, you know, a heads up. Because I guarantee you, if you sound like you know what you're doing, that evaluator will relax. If you're going at a good clip, if you're not talking too fast, if you're talking at a nice rate of speech, similar to what I'm doing on these podcasts, you have that rate of speech. You can put the evaluator to sleep. And that is your job as a student in those non-radar evals, is to put the evaluator to sleep. You can't do that if you're speaking at 1,000 miles an hour. You can't do that if you're going, correction, 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 all the time. You cannot, the evaluator can't relax. You've gotten their attention. Okay? And that's not what you want to do. You want to do the exact opposite of that. You want to be calm, cool, collected. You want to talk as if nothing is going on. You know, no stress. And I know it's hard to do. And I know it's incredibly hard to do when you're not used to doing non-radar. You know, that's why you have to practice so much during non-radar. You have to get to the point where you can run whatever problem they give you, whatever conflict between airplanes that they give you, and you can do it in the same tone of voice that you get the airspace from D-67. Okay? It's just what you have to do. You have to get to that point. If you're not to that point, then keep practicing to get to that point. Once you get to that point, keep practicing to stay at that point. Okay? So, practice, practice, practice. And don't help the evaluators. Okay? Like I said, your job, I used to tell my classes this, your job is to put the evaluator to sleep. Period. If you put them to sleep, you've done your job. They're comfortable with you. They're confident that you know what you're doing. And that's perfect. That's your goal. Okay, so we've gone through most of the problem. Started with the pre-plan. Now you're at the end of the problem. You're at the end of the scenario. And you've got a departure. And you look up and you're like, oh man, I don't have much time. You've already coordinated. You've already done all that you need to do. All you need to do is call up whoever it is, Greenwood, Monroe Approach, what used to be called Jackson Approach. I'm not sure if they renamed it Magnolia Approach or not. It was Jackson Approach while I was there. And you have to give a clearance. Now, don't do what I have done. When I was in the class for instructors to become a non-rater instructor. We were running all the scenarios. We ran scenario 23, the more difficult 23, before they actually watered it down slightly, not a whole lot, but slightly. And I got to tell you, that's a monster problem. That is a monster scenario to try and get through. And at the end of the scenario, I had a Greenwood departure. Climbing up to 9,000, wanted 9,000. And I'm looking at the clock and I realize I've got like 20 seconds. So I call up Greenwood Tower, give them the clearance. No restriction, climb, maintain 9,000. Yep. Not only did I hit the airspace, but I hit the overflight too. And the guy that was instructing us in that class said, okay, we're done. And he looked at me and he said, Tom, you have just done what so many students do at the end of a scenario in an effort to get that last departure off. You didn't go through your steps. And you have to go through your steps. And I knew when I gave my initials, I looked at it and I went, oh man, I can't believe I did that. But it was too late. Okay. So don't rush to get that last guy off. When it comes to departures, unless you're 100% sure, leave them on the ground. Now, do not go overboard on that. I am not suggesting that you leave all your departures on the ground. No, 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 no. Because one thing you do not want to do is tick off the FAA evaluators. And if you leave the departures on the ground, that is what you will accomplish. That is the only thing you will accomplish. And I have seen that done. I have seen a student who had two departures at the beginning of the problem, left them on the ground for the entire problem. Had other departures during the scenario, and he got those out, but he left those two on the ground. And I got to tell you, all of the FAA was ticked. The evaluator that was watching him, oh my. He came in to our class. It was one of our students. I was the A lead for this class. And he came in and complained to the, we had a different lead for radar than we did for non-radar. But he came in and spent our entire break complaining about what that student had done. And we basically looked at him and said, dude, what do you want us to do? It's the FAA's grading system. And at the time, that student got two delays for those two aircraft. Cost him 10 points because the delay was 5 points apiece. He didn't get any separation errors on those two airplanes. Separation error would be 10 points apiece, not five. And so I don't know what was going on in the student's head during that scenario. I really don't. We didn't discuss it with him. But, and up to, until the evaluator brought it to our attention, we didn't know that he had done that. So, don't rush getting off any departure. If you need to get more time, call up and extend the departure clearance time. Okay? Just do it. And if they give you a delay, let them. Okay? When you get 10 minutes to do a departure, it's more than enough time in most cases. And the scenarios are designed so that you have time to do each of those clearances. Okay, so you're not going to get so overwhelmed that you can't get a departure out unless you've put off so many things during the scenario to that point that you're having to catch up and you don't have time to do the clearance. That's the only time that could possibly happen, because the scenarios are made to be solved. And that's one thing to keep in mind when it comes to the entire FAA Academy. And I'm talking en route, tower, TRACON, N90. It doesn't matter why you're there. RTF. It doesn't matter why you're in Oklahoma City going through one of the classes. Every single scenario they give you has a solution. You just have to find it. And you have to be ready to give it. Okay? So, 10 minutes to do a non-radar departure? Yeah, that's more than enough time. You will have time. And in radar, 10 minutes to get a guy off the ground, you'll have time. You will have time. You'll have time to do everything you need to do in a radar lab, everything you need to do in a non-radar lab. So, don't rush. That's the last of the worst mistakes that you can make in the non-radar evals. Okay, so go back over it. Make sure you pre-plan in the right order. Red W is first, arrivals second, departures if you have time. Okay? Two, not having your first moves planned out when the scenario starts. Take a little bit of time. Don't plan the next departure and be ready for the start of the problem. Okay? Next was not writing down your WHAT. Not writing down your what. You have to write it down. It will help you. You think you're wasting time by writing it down. No, you're actually saving time. I guarantee you 100% I would put my next paycheck on it. Okay? Just do it. Next was bringing a mistake that you've made to the attention of the evaluator. Either by going, oh my, I can't believe I did that. You know, just anything like that. Okay? Just keep going. When you see that you did something wrong, just keep going. The FAA actually wants you to respond that way. They want people who can make a mistake and it won't fluster them. They won't sit there and just cuss themselves or whatever. They want someone who can make a mistake and go on, correct it, and just do what the job requires them to do. They know you're going to make mistakes. Believe me, they know you are going to make mistakes. So when you make one and you realize it, don't bring it to their attention. Let them figure it out. Okay? It's not your job. That's their job. And then last, we talked about at the end of the scenario, trying to get a departure off without going through your steps. And this happens in radar as well. You're coming up on 10 minutes. You don't want to get a delay and you don't go through your steps. Every departure requires certain steps. It doesn't matter if it's non-radar or radar. There are steps to go through. Go through them. Don't rush. Okay. All right. So those are the five worst mistakes that I've seen made in the non-radar evals. Hopefully, by my talking about them, you won't make them. Learn from other people's mistakes. Learn from my mistake. Okay. But learn from other people's mistakes. Talk to your classmates, you know, at lunch, day of evals. Just talk about some of the mistakes, not details, not call signs or anything like that. Just talk about, you know, the general feeling of the scenario, the general, you know, scenario of what happened between the two airplanes. Okay. And just above all, what you want to do, well, before I say that, let me give you a hint. What I would suggest doing leading up to the non-radar eval day. The first one I talked about was pre-planning in the wrong order. Well, practice pre-planning. Practice pre-planning. Instead of running a full scenario takes you 45 minutes, 15 minutes pre-plan, 30 minutes to run the scenario. In that 45 minutes, you can pre-plan three problems. Okay, so once you get to, I would say problem 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there, you should have run a lot of practice problems on your own with your classmates. Well, at this point, maybe practice pre-planning three or four. Get used to that. Get better at your pre-planning. And then run one full scenario. And then go back and pre-plan three or four more. Practice your pre-plan. Okay? The benefit of practicing your pre-plan is you will get better at it. And by getting better at it, you start the scenario in a much better frame of mind. You feel more confident about how you're doing it, and you are getting better, and so you're in a better place to start. Okay? That's my one thing that I would suggest, is that you practice your pre-plan the same way you practice scenarios. And I think that will help you more than anything else I could tell you. Okay? So, I'll leave you with that. And for those of you that are in Oklahoma City and going through the academy, you know, keep working, keep practicing. And if you need help, if you have questions, email me at tomhaines@sidebysideatc.com. I will check the emails. I will get back to you. And if you're struggling, we'll come up with a plan to get you where you need to be. Okay? Because that's what I'm here for. I want to help you guys. If you're not in Oklahoma City yet, but you know you're going, you have a date, you might even be going through the virtual basics, although it's about to go live, and in-person basics, and you have questions, shoot me an email. Be more than happy to answer any questions. We can get some things going before you even get to Oklahoma City. Okay? So, if you have something that you want me to talk about on the podcast, send it to me in the email. I'd be more than happy to talk about it on the podcast or talk about it just with you. But just know, more than anything, that I want to help each and every one of you that are going through the academy in whatever capacity, tower, en route, TRACON, N90, RTF. Just, that's my heart. I want to let you guys, I want to do what I can to get you as confident and as good as you can possibly be going into it. Okay? So, that's why I do this podcast. That's why I give you my email. And that's why I want to do the coaching program for all of you guys that are going through the academy. And we'll have more details on that. We're redesigning it. So if you have questions, if you have needs, contact me at the email. It'll be in the show notes. And until we get to talk again, I hope you all have a great day and a great week. And just keep going after it. It's tough, but it's well worth it. It's a great career. And until next time, goodbye.